Welcome to Compassion Radio 360. Morning, honey. It's time for Compassion Radio's 360, end of the week. Hopefully a fun and inspiring story to lift our spirits. Send us off into the weekend with a great attitude. Welcome back to the mic.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Most of the time we do pick some uplifting story, and today is, in that regard, very much uplifting and encouraging, but it, man, does it have a twist.
Yeah, it does.
So we're going to dig into both sides of this story and hopefully learn a couple spiritual lessons from it all. As a reminder to our Compassion Radio listeners, on our Friday programs, this is about stepping into the Word of God in real life. And we have an article link every week to the story or the video that inspires this conversation. And that's available at CompassionRadio.com. If you want to hear the rest of the story or dig into it yourself and follow the links, do. It's at CompassionRadio.com in the podcast section of our website. You'll see the title, Compassion Radio 360, and the title of today's program right there. And we're going to be dealing with hospitality today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This story hit a nerve with me because we have a 15-year-old boy.
Yes, we do.
And it's about the legacy of a 15-year-old boy. So that's the spoiler alert right there. His name is Sam, and he was part of a group. They called themselves the Wednesday Breakfast Club, and they would meet before school at a local diner because they had a late start Wednesdays at school.
Yeah, I remember being in high school myself thinking, either I've got a car or a friend's got a car. We got some freedom here. We can go do our thing and hang out together somewhere and start stretching our wings here a little bit.
Right. So one Wednesday morning, Sam says to his friends, you know, guys, my grandma makes much better pancakes than this place does. Yeah. And so they said, okay, let's go to your grandma's house.
You and I both have grandparents that served us great weekend breakfast.
Very much.
So he had the same kind of experience. And we get to get introduced then to his grandmother.
Yes. So Sam went to Grandma Peggy and said, hey, what do you think about this idea? And she said, bring it on. That sounds like a blast. Peggy started making breakfast every Wednesday morning for a group of high school students. About 30 of them show up. And she would get up at 5 every morning, make pancake batter, fry up bacon, make eggs, chop up fresh fruit, and get everything ready by 7 o'clock when all of these teenagers would arrive at her tiny little house and her tiny little kitchen. She is just serving up food for an hour or more.
And I admire this kind of hospitality. I would say, it's great. It's wonderful. I celebrate this. I think about myself in this position. I would think, what a drudgery for me. This is not my love language to be up at 5 in the morning heating things up.
No.
She was making it warm in her kitchen to the point where she's probably roasting herself. In fact, there's a picture of some of the kids eating breakfast where they had to spill out in warm weather onto the porch and into the yard because it was just too hot in the house.
Yeah.
That's a real servant attitude when you've got somebody that's preparing this incredible feast and is literally sweating it out in the kitchen to make it possible for your grandson to have this experience with his friends.
Yeah, well, you make it sound terrible. I think she well, she loved it, actually.
So, I'm sure she did. I'm just saying I appreciate it. I would be very grateful for it. It's not my first inclination to say, yeah, of course I'll get up at 5 in the morning to do this. I simply have to admit I have to bow down to that kind of servanthood.
That's right. So this was back in October of 2021.
A lot of loneliness there, too. This is coming out of COVID time, so this is a big deal.
Then they would come every Wednesday morning by 7 o'clock and just pack her little house out. And she absolutely loved it. Well, about a year and a half ago, Sam was killed in a car accident. And it was a sudden, horrible situation. And it was a shock to everyone. Peggy is devastated. And their family is devastated. She doesn't know what to do. And she realized, well, I'm not the only one hurting here. All of these kids who've been coming to my house for the last few years with Sam are also grieving. And they need a safe place to be able to process that grief.
Yeah.
So she contacted some of the key kids who had been coming all along from this group and said, breakfast is on. I'll see you Wednesday. So they got the word out and the kids came back.
I got to say, there's a lot of courage in that action. Someone steps up and says, I will start the healing process and it starts with my hospitality. For those of us who were old enough to remember what happened on 9/11, it wasn't just a one-day event that traumatized America. America shut down for like 2 months emotionally. we were not processing our grief very well. And knowing that we were going to war right away against who knows who, about who knows what, it was just a very unsettling time. And the entire city of New York was emblematic of that because they were going through an incredible amount of grief as a city and as a state because there was debris everywhere. There was for weeks and months. They spent years cleaning up where both towers fell to the ground. Mm-hmm. And there was a time that fall where nobody was doing any new programming on TV. They were just running memorials and getting us through each step of grief and processing as a nation. It wasn't until probably like November or so that programming got back to normal on broadcast television. And it was somebody like David Letterman, who was a late night comedy host, that had to make a decision. When do we go back? Mm-hmm. And how do we do it? I remember him telling the people that would normally come to the studio, don't come yet. We're going to do a few programs just to keep it intimate, just the guests. And we'll deal with the stuff that you're dealing with at home right now. So they were very serious programs at first. And there was no jokes to be told because there was just too much grief.
Yeah.
Eventually, he said, it's time. It's time for us to come back together and start behaving like normal human beings again. We'll still have times when it breaks down, when it doesn't seem happy, but there'll be less and less as we go along. We have to do this. We have to move on. He made that choice by his leadership, literally as a celebrity, but kind of like a statesman of celebrities, because yeah. He was like the longest running late night host at that time. I always appreciated that about David Letterman in that role. He chose his time, and he believed it was right. He waited for a time when he was up to the challenge to start behaving, quote-unquote, normally again.
Yeah.
So this story that we're reading here is kind of like a microcosm of that. It's a very personal, very small-town tragedy. Mm. But for those who were involved with this, it was their world. Everyone said, they know hospitality.
Yeah.
They know how to take care of folks. And now, could it ever happen again? Because the kid that invited all of us is gone.
Well, Peggy says that it is the kids that actually helped her get through her grief. Mm. That on the day Sam was killed, some of them showed up to her house and just sat with her as she cried. It was as if they wanted to help her heal, but didn't know what to say.
Right.
And one of the kids says, we were grieving with Grandma. We knew that she was hurting and we had to be with her. She's like our family. And Sam was too. They wanted to do their part because of the hospitality that they had been shown. And she said they came for like a whole week to make sure I was okay, just to check on me. So as the summer came to an end, she knew that she had to make a decision. And that's when she contacted some of these young people and said, breakfast is on. And you need to come back. And more than ever showed up, over 30 kids at the first Wednesday breakfast. One of the young men said, we knew that Sam would want it this way.
Yeah.
He was that kind of guy. He loved hosting people. He loved getting people together. Grandma Peggy said, you know, they lost their best friend too.
Yeah.
They need the encouragement. They need to walk through this together as best they can.
There's never been, in our culture that I know of, a funeral and the time afterwards where there wasn't instantly a calendar of food that's brought. Because when families are dealing with crisis or with tragedy or both, you're not thinking about just doing the normal things anymore. You're suddenly completely out of your elements. You don't want to have to think about putting food on the table or doing the wash or whatever. You're just in the moment. You're stuck there. It is more than just common for people to come around you and say, I don't know what else I can do, but I can bring you a casserole.
Yeah.
And for this little breakfast club, pancakes were a whole lot more important. They weren't just being brought something. They were bringing something to the table themselves every single time. Perhaps they started actually contributing more in the kitchen than they had before. Who knows how their roles changed? When you need comfort yourself, you don't want to be away from people. You want to be right there with them. So I'm sure the dynamic in the room changed dramatically, but it was still something that spoke love and spoke about the things that we cherish. You haven't lost that. You're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And being with others who are going through grief together with you is what life is in tough moments.
Yeah. Most of these kids were freshmen in high school when they started this. And so now they're juniors going into their senior year here soon.
And they're still doing this.
They're still doing it.
Yeah.
And they're bringing other students that didn't even know Sam. They're coming to Grandma Peggy's house for breakfast on Wednesdays. A lot of them will say, Sam was one of the kindest people that I've ever known. He was so kind and so generous. He's just like Grandma Peggy. Grandma Peggy is kind and generous. She just wants us to enjoy ourselves and be together, spend time together. She said, there's not a time that goes by that we don't talk about Sam in some way.
Yeah.
We always remember Sam And it's important to keep his memory alive. It's important for us to remember why we're here. It's important for us to process the things that we loved about him and the things that he taught us in his short life.
There's something about being in the same place with the same people, smelling the same thing and tasting the same things, that doesn't just keep an old memory alive, it's making a new memory because your brain is engaged with all of these senses.
Yeah.
It is a sensual experience. It's got to be, in some ways, deeply grieving that the person's not with you to experience this. But because you are experiencing the things that you love with the people you love, you continue to love.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't lost that. So it's not like you're just trying to remember back to a time when things were good. You're building goodness into the things that hurt.
Yeah.
And that leads us to a discussion about hospitality. We have a couple of scriptures to read on this one. The core ones from Romans. Romans, we normally think about being the factual case for making Christianity solid theologically. But it says a lot about just how to live, too.
Yeah.
A letter to the church. How do we get through things together? How do we live together? And Romans 12:13 talks directly to the situation that we're discussing now. Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry. These are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our Safe and Secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. Romans, we normally think about being the factual case for making Christianity solid theologically. But it says a lot about just how to live, too.
Yeah.
A letter to the church. How do we get through things together? How do we live together? And Romans 12:13 talks directly to the situation that we're discussing now. So why don't you go ahead and read it from your favorite translation?
Okay. Hospitality is foundational to our faith and our theology, or it should be.
Yeah. At least our practical theology.
Well, Jesus expressed the need for hospitality mm-hmm. when he talks about, when did you see me hungry and feed me? All of those times that Jesus talked about feeding the poor, clothing the naked, taking care of the widows and orphans, that's hospitality.
Okay, let me put a hard stop in that one for right now, because I want to remind our listeners that we are not talking about a theoretical anything. This is not a metaphor. This is not a parable. When Jesus says, when I saw you feeding my little ones, he's talking about literal things. So if you want to talk about the Bible being literal at times, listen to the red letters here. When Jesus says these things, he's saying, I'm present.
Yeah.
So let's take it seriously then when he says these things.
Romans 12:13 from the Passion Translation. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved children and respond by helping them and eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Another translation, The Voice, says, share what you have with the saints so they lack nothing. Take every opportunity to open your life and home to others.
Both those translations read very much amplified, and they expand the thought a bit. It's not as simple as simply saying, be hospitable.
Yeah.
The concept is rich, and it is deep, and it has many facets we have to consider. What does it mean to really open your home? Well, homes were designed differently and actually run differently back in those days than they are now. So us figuring out what were they doing, what were they saying about hospitality back then that made sense to them in a way that makes sense to us. So we do have to kind of expand it a bit. He does talk about where the saints, the folks that you know, your family. Think about that first. But also, it seems like Paul is saying, treat people like family. It's not just only the Christians you would ever be nice to. He's saying, be nice to people like you would your own family.
Later on in the chapter, he says, if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch.
Yeah.
So Paul is expanding
this. It's an expansive
view. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's intentional, too. I do wonder about this grandmother. She was obviously practicing this to anybody who came through the door because she treated them all like they were her own kids.
Well, yeah. She said she has over 30 grandchildren now.
And it got me wondering, how is she paying for all this?
Well, originally she was just paying out of her own pocket. But as it grew and grew, she thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to keep doing it regardless.
By faith, she offers hospitality.
Right. And she and her husband are on a fixed income. He is disabled and has Parkinson's disease, so he needs constant care as well. But this is great because people started hearing about this. People were intrigued by this. It was published in the St. Louis Times because it's an outskirt of St. Louis where this town is.
The media, in some ways, kind of came to her rescue in this one.
Some, yeah. The kids began to talk to their grandparents about this too. And their grandparents, many of them, said, we're going to send money to help her pay for this because she's feeding our grandkids.
Yeah.
So we're going to help out. A couple of local businesses started donating food and money, supplies, to help her pay for this. It has not stopped. It's been since 2021 that this has been going on now. And it is almost fully funded every week.
This tells me that hospitality is something that is intentional. It reaches across space and time, and it's a cooperative effort. In fact, one of the translations you just read talked about, do everything you need to do for the saints so they lack nothing. You know, God's dear children is another way of stating it. So these kids are being treated like they're God's special ones, and they're taking care of them. And their families around them are investing in a family taking care of the difficult things, dealing with difficult questions, talking to their kids and sharing with them about the difficult questions they have in their lives.
Yeah.
She's got a ministry, this grandmother, and it's not just to hold the memory up of her grandson, but to pay it forward. He is the one that showed the original hospitality in my book. She responded to his hospitality by making it possible.
Yeah.
It was a team effort. And that's my last pivot I want to make. The two of them were hospitable. They defined the hospitality. And then one is removed from their midst. And now grandmother is left, quote, alone to be the hospitable one. But she was grieving, like you mentioned earlier, honey. She needed friends.
Yeah.
His friends needed to sort out their own feelings and find a way forward. How do you deal with the loss of somebody so young like they are? They're feeling their own mortality. It's not comfortable. But they chose in some ways to step up and be hospitable to her and let her become part of them. And together, they're building something that's different than the sum of its parts were before. It was beautiful already. This is something that goes to a deeper level in some ways for me because it's a hospitality that reaches literally beyond the grave.
Yeah.
It's the kind of hospitality that says, you will always be welcome in my home, but also in my heart.
Well, without realizing it, these kids stepped up to serve someone that they cared about. I mean, they realized they were serving her, but it also helped them process their grief. I mean, they talked about how being there with her helped them feel okay about grieving.
Yes.
And like you said, realizing their mortality, seeing death right in front of them, someone their own age, that is always shocking to your system. And it's always shocking when a young person is killed, and especially in a tragic way, but in any way. So when a young person realizes, hey, I'm just like that. I'm the same age as that person.
Yeah.
That could happen
to
me.
Yeah.
It starts a process inside of them that is a little difficult to know how to deal with. And Grandma Peggy gave them the space and continues to give them the space, safe space, to process those big feelings that they don't understand.
She's probably so busy in the kitchen, even after all this tragedy, that she's got enough to attend to. She probably doesn't spend her entire time talking. She spends her time speaking through her gifts. And there's something to be said for that, too. That whatever you have that is your love language, you can speak through those things, even if you don't feel like you've got something to say. Every action speaks something to somebody. And Jesus says it speaks a lot to me. When did we see you hungry and not feed you? Or when did we see you naked and not clothe you? Asked the sheep and the goats. one gets an answer that's very harsh because it's true about their attitude. And the other one gets a surprise. They had no idea that the little things they did, as they saw it in their minds, was something that God put great stock in, that he was going to invest in his children, his dear loved ones, by the way his disciples, the way his children, the ones who actually hold a title, treated those like he would be there. In fact, if he was walking this earth, he would do this thing firsthand. But he knows somehow that letting us take care of business when it comes to loving others doesn't diminish his presence. It magnifies it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't diminish our autonomy. It doesn't diminish our capacity or our agency. It multiplies it. It offers it up. And every sacrifice given to God that serves others is a very special kind of sacrifice because it's a living sacrifice. It doesn't get burnt up or used up or wasted or poured out. Yeah, it's poured out, but it's poured into people too.
Yeah.
You know, these are the kind of gifts, kind of sacrifices that always seem to produce spiritual fruit. And I don't want that to be lost on us, that when we offer our lives and our homes to people who need a friend, especially to those who, one, either don't believe they deserve it or never knew they needed it, when those people find a welcome at our tables, it's a little heaven on earth.
We often talk about a couple of things on Compassion Radio that I think are kind of appropriate here. One of them is the ministry of showing up.
Yes.
That goes along with the ministry of opening up, opening your home. But we also talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And how the things that we do on this earth to touch other people, it says Jesus touching them, through us touching them. This woman is doing that. She is touching the lives of these young people, and they are touching her. You know that she is receiving a huge benefit from this as well.
The first visit, a kid comes there and he's hungry. He gets his stomach filled. Next time around, you find friendship. Suddenly, you're being filled up emotionally.
Another extension to this breakfast club is that she always makes more than enough food, the kids say.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, if there's a smaller crowd than last week or whatever, we take the extra food to school and find kids who haven't had breakfast and hand it out. So it's never wasted.
Yeah. Every Wednesday then kind of becomes a Thanksgiving day where the food's being spread around to those who have need and maybe not even know they needed it.
Yeah.
So that, my friends, I think is the heart of what we're trying to explain, that there are many places around the world, even that we can't physically touch right now. I would love to spend time traveling through Gaza with some of the people that have gone with Norman Scheer and with Brother Andrew and all the friends of the ministry we've had over the past 40 or 50 years that have actually gone to the toughest places and done the toughest things and given out all they had and seen God multiply it. We have miracle stories of our own of stuff being left in the van that should not have been there because they kept giving it out.
Yeah.
We have our own loaves and fishes kind of stories because we were willing to be there on behalf of you as Compassion Radio listeners. Right now, I can't physically go to Gaza. We don't have a door open to us. We don't even know if the people that we worked with before are even alive anymore. But we know that those stories are still happening, and we are praying for those we know that are actually in country. And that's why it so devastated me when we heard in the news that the World Central Kitchen staff was killed in the line of fire when they should not have been, because they were literally doing what Jesus said to do and what the Apostle Paul says to do in this scripture. As soon as the doors open up to be in places like Gaza, we'll be there as God provides us a way to go. And there are plenty of other places right now that are in as a dire need that we're not hearing as much in the news. And of course, you know, we spent lots of time talking about what's happening on the front lines in Ukraine with Christians who are serving there and in Sudan and Uganda and other Central African republics and Southeast Asia and Burma. Burma right now is in total meltdown. Nobody even knows about it right now. But as we are given opportunities to step in there and to speak peace and to give gift, we want to do that. And you help make it possible when you give and support this ministry. I just want to say thank you for all you've done over the years and for the ways that God keeps moving your hearts to let us be team members with you in accomplishing God's work this way and showing that kind of hospitality that can reach across the planet. Thank you for that so much. And I hope the story itself was inspiring to you because it's true. And I hope this weekend for you is a celebration of God's provision for you, how he's shown you hospitality and shown you welcome and does every time you come to the altar at the church you worship in, perhaps, or as you celebrate communion, perhaps, this weekend, that you see God providing for you in every way on every level. that's the way God's calling us to live for others.
Again, thank you for all you do for us through your giving, through your prayers. We appreciate it so much here at Compassion Radio. And we hope you'll tune in next Monday for Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word.
Whether getting Bibles into closed countries, relief supplies into dangerous refugee camps, or providing training in theology books to barefoot pastors as they begin their ministry, these are all the kind of things that we love to share with you every day. And more importantly, they're the kind of things we like to do. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of this year? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478. And note our new mailing address, which is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Or give online at CompassionRadio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.